It's easy to not hear something that's being said. One possibility is that the speaker isn't speaking loud enough so that you can hear. Another possibility is there's some kind of interference while you're listening, or there may be a distraction. When it comes to hearing spiritually, a possible problem is that the listeners do not really listen. Jesus said, if you have an ear to hear, indicating you could have an ear that you were hearing, but you weren't quite getting it. I think it's important that we listen, and especially when we're listening to the Lord Himself, because you see, He can be misunderstood. So He tells us to be very careful that the way we listen, that we need to listen so that we understand. Let me show you about in the scripture. Will you turn with me in your Bibles to Mark chapter 4? Mark chapter 4, and I'm going to begin reading with verse 21. Also, he said to them, is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to set on a lampstand? For there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret but that it should come to light. Anyone who has an ear to hear, let him hear. Then he said to them, take heed what you hear. For the same measure you use, it will be measured to you, and to you who hear, more will be given. For whoever has, to him, more will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. And he said to them, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground, and should sleep by night, and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. For the earth yields crop by itself, first the blade, then the head, after the full grain of the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. And he said to them, to what shall we liken to the kingdom of God? Or with a parable, how shall we picture it? It is like a mustard seed, which when it is sown into the ground is smaller than all the seeds of the earth. But when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all the herbs and shoots out large branches so that the birds of the air may nest under its shade. And with many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. But without a parable, he did not speak to them. And when they were alone, he explained all things to his disciples. Even just a brief reading of this passage makes it obvious that a major thing the Lord is saying here is make sure you hear what is said. Matter of fact, verse 24 says it very clearly. Take heed what you hear. But I'd like to just back up and start at the beginning and move through the passage. It seems to me that the Lord is making several points here. And the first is that the message must be heard. Look at verse 21. Is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or a bed? Is it not to be set on a lampstand? Now, this is probably a correction or a possible correction to what could be misunderstood from what was said previously. If you will call... Prior to this, the Lord told the parable of the sower. And then he said, and he taught, that part of the reason he was speaking in parables is so that he could conceal truth. We talked about that last time. That's one of those shocking things that the Lord said. Now, of course, he meant he was keeping it hidden from those who had already rejected him. And he talked in parables to believers and explained them to believers. Now he says, is a lamp to be brought and put under a basket or a bed? And clearly, in the context of this chapter, what he is saying is this. I do not mean to suggest, by what I just said, that the truth is to be confined to a select group. No, that's not the case at all. It's like a lamp, and you don't put a lamp under a basket, and you don't put a lamp under the bed. It is to shine so that everybody sees it. He says in verse 22, for there is nothing hidden but which shall not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret but that it should come to light. Now, in my opinion, he is talking about what he said earlier in chapter 4. Go back and look at verse 11. To you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom, but to those who are outside, all things come in parables, so that seeing they see not, and they do not perceive, hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn, and their sins should be forgiven them. Now that's that passage where he says, look, I'm telling parables now, so that those outside, the unbelievers, don't get it. But, he says, I don't mean to imply by this that it's to be confined. For he says in verse 22, nothing is hidden which is to be revealed, nor is anything kept in secret that it should not come to light. And in the context, he's talking about the mystery of the kingdom. It is to be made known like a light. It is to shine so that everybody can see it. And then he says this, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. You got ears? Hear. You got ears? Listen. Don't misunderstand this. He's saying this is very important. Make sure you hear the mystery of the kingdom. Now, let's talk about that for a second. I sort of slid over that last week. Let's talk about the mystery of the kingdom. The word mystery in the Bible doesn't mean mysterious. It means something that has not yet been revealed. Some call it a sacred secret. It's something that God has hidden, and now he makes it known. He reveals it. Well, what is the mystery of the kingdom? Well, it's not that a kingdom is coming. That was revealed in the Old Testament. It's that he's giving some new truth about the kingdom. The kingdom is future. It's going to be on the earth when he comes back. And part of what he is saying is, I'm giving you some instruction for how to prepare for that kingdom that is coming. At any rate, he is simply saying in this part of the passage, this is to be made known. It's like a light. Let it shine. I want everybody to see it. Don't stick it under a bushel, and don't stick it under the bed. Now, what could hide God's spiritual truth, especially about the kingdom? Well, he says a bushel basket could hide it. A bed could hide it. Now, why did he choose those two things? It has been suggested that the bushel was the most common measurement in trading. It speaks of commerce. So that perhaps what he is talking about here is that you would sacrifice the message for the sake of some financial gain, that you would use your time and your energy to gain something financially rather than to spread the message of his word. Or you could stick it under a bed. Now, that one's easy. What do you use the bed for? Well, it's the ease, for relaxation. So, being so concerned about our own personal creature comforts, we could spend all of our energy on that and not on spreading the message of the kingdom of God. So he is saying, let neither a bushel nor a bed allow you or hinder you from spreading the message that he's given to us. So the first point he's making is really rather simple. That is that the message is to be heard. Now, he means everybody's to hear it. The second thing he says in this passage is you make sure you get it. Pick up again at verse 24. And he said to them, that is the disciples, take heed what you hear. This little expression means you be very careful as to what you hear. Everybody's to hear the message, but I'm saying to you, you be especially careful as to how you hear this. And he explains, with the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. This is a fascinating concept. Why should I be careful to hear? Well, as he explains, if you use what's given to you, you will get more. And then he says in verse 25, for whosoever has, to him more will be given, but whosoever does not have, even what he has, shall be taken away from him. And all of this is supporting the point, be careful how you hear. Make sure you hear, because if you hear it, you get more. And if you don't use it, you can lose it. So use it and you get more. You don't use it and you lose it. You see, when it comes to hearing spiritual truth, it's like riding a bike. You can't just stand still. You ever try to do that on a bike? You can't do that. The principle taught here, and I think elsewhere in the New Testament, is you use it or you lose it. Matter of fact, in Hebrews, the writer to the Hebrews says, you know what? You ought to be a teacher. You've been taught so much, you ought to be teaching other people. But you really have need that somebody come back and teach you again. Implying they didn't use it and they lost it. So if you don't use it, you lose it. Some years ago, a businessman, in order to protect the name of his company, took out the domain name Garden Master. He had a garden servicing company. He kept that name for 30 years. Then another company registered that domain name, and their business dealt with gardening, but it was gardening tools, not gardening service. Now two people had the same domain name, Garden Master. So as you can imagine, there was arbitration and they had to decide who gets the name. Well, it's first come, first serve, right? Wouldn't you think? Well, the man who had the name for 30 years lost it. And the rationale was he lost it because he hadn't used it. He only got it to protect the company name. He didn't get it to use it, and it was ruled that because you didn't use it, you lost it. The first point the Lord makes in this passage is, the message is to be heard. The second point he makes is, I want you especially to be careful how you hear, because if you hear it and use it, you get more, and if you hear it and don't use it, you lose it. Now he says this, be assured this message is going to grow. Look at verse 26. He says, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground and should sleep by night and rise by day and the seed should sprout and grow, and he himself does not know how. Interesting. He says, the point he's making is, it's going to grow. And I think he's talking about the message of the kingdom, because he's been talking about hearing it. And so he says, it's as if a man scattered seed on the ground, and the seed germinated, it grew, but it grew by night, and the man who scattered it didn't know how it grew. As a matter of fact, verse 28 says, for the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, after that, the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. What he's teaching with this is really very simple. The seed will grow. You might not understand it. You're going to wake up one day and say, wow, it grew. But the simple reality is, it will grow. Many see in this that he's talking about from the time he came the first time and sowed the seed until he comes the second time and reaps the harvest. But be that as it may, the point is, there's going to be a mysterious, if you will, growth of the seed. It's going to grow. Now he makes one other point about growth. And in order to do that, he uses another parable. He says in verse 30, to what shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or what parable shall we picture it? It is like a mustard seed, which when it is sown into the ground is smaller than all the seeds of the earth. But when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all the herbs and sprouts out large branches so that the birds of the air may nest under its shade. Now, in the first parable, where somebody's simply sowing seed, the idea is you don't understand how it grows, but it grows. Here, the point is real obvious. The mustard seed, which in ancient times was thought to be the smallest seed, is going to grow until it produces a huge tree that the birds come and make nest in. So there's going to be growth from the smallest to the largest, and it is not going to fail. God's program may start small, it's going to grow large, but it's not going to fail. That's his point. Many years ago, there was a German theologian named Hermann Thielicke, who, when Hitler came to power, started speaking out against the regime. As a result, he lost his job at the university and was given a very small parish in the countryside. He then decided to start a Wednesday night prayer meeting. Three people showed up, two elderly women and an elderly gentleman. He could hear outside the marching of the Hitler youth who had sworn their allegiance to Hitler. And then he looked at his small crowd, and he heard all those youth marching to Hitler's loyalty, and he got a little discouraged. And then he said this in one of the books he wrote, and I quote, in that moment, I thought of the Christian faith. It seemed that faith was dying while Hitler's war machine was growing stronger and stronger every day. Was it true that the kingdom of this world will one day become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Messiah? Then he thought of the story of the mustard seed, that it grew from a very small seed to a very large plant. And it was that that gave him encouragement and of hope. And of course, as it all turned out, it was Hitler's kingdom that failed. The Lord's kingdom endures forever. So he is simply saying that it's going to grow. It's going to start small, but it is going to grow. Then he ends this part of the passage by saying, with many such parables he spoke to them. Mark does not record them. In this part of the passage, recorded by Matthew, he gives five other parables. And of course, in Matthew and in Luke, there were many parables that he spoke. But the point here is, the message is going to grow, and you need to be part of that. And if you are, you will get more. And if you don't, you will lose it. Now, obviously, the message has grown. You might say that he started with 12, then he sent out 70. On the day of Pentecost, there were 3,000 who were converted. Then it grew to 5,000. When you get to the book of Revelation, it says, there will be people from every kindred, tongue, and tribe on the earth. So it grew from a handful to a massive multitude that, according to John, no man can number. All right, that's the passage, but I think there's some very important instruction here we need to hear. So let me summarize and let me make some suggestions. It seems to me that the point of these verses is you need to make sure that you hear the message of the kingdom because it's going to grow. And if you become part of that, you get more. And if you don't, you lose it. Now, let's break this down and talk about it very simply. Clearly, he is saying, hear. Be careful how you hear. I started with verse 24. Take heed what you hear. Be careful how you hear this. In this passage, he is primarily talking about the preaching of the kingdom, about the mysterious growth of the kingdom, and for that matter, the rapid growth of the kingdom from something small to something great. But let me make another observation. In the overall context of this chapter, what he is saying is, the Lord wants fruit. Remember the parable of the sower? That was earlier in the chapter. And this passage that we've looked at today follows hot on the heels of the parable of the sower. Now, what's the point of the parable of the sower? Well, there are many points. But one of which is, some produce fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. And in some cases, the word gets choked out by the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desire for other things. So one of the major points we should gain from the parable of the sower is God wants fruit. Be careful how you hear the word. He wants you to hear the word and produce fruit. He doesn't want you to hear it and not understand it, or hear it and not do anything with it. He wants you to hear it and grow. As you've heard me say many times, we're to grow to Christ-likeness and spiritual maturity. But you've got to hear in order for that to happen. Let me make another suggestion. Not necessarily in this passage, but clearly related and implied in this passage. And that is this. God promises to reward those who hear and heed his word. There's another parable that's related to the kingdom that he tells in Matthew chapter 25. It's called the parable of the talents. And it illustrates what I think this passage is really getting at. That if you use it, you get more. And if you don't use it, you lose it. Remember the story? The master gave out talents. He gave one 5 talents and left on a trip. When he came back, that man had doubled what he had been given. And so he says, well done. Enter into the joy of the Lord. And remember the fellow who had 1 talent? And he didn't do anything with it. And here's the punch. He took the talent and gave it to the fella who had done something with it. Hear carefully the word, because if you hear, more will be given. And if you don't hear and heed what the word says, if you don't use it, you lose it. That's an awesome truth in the scripture, isn't it? We need to be very careful how we hear the word, that we use what we hear, lest that we not lose it in this life and when we stand before the Lord to be rewarded. So, the bottom line, the take-home truth today is, use everything else I've ever taught you. Use it, or you will lose it. You might even lose reward at the judgment seat of Christ. I have a story that illustrates this. Illustrates it rather well. It actually comes from a Greek philosopher. He said this. He was a Stoic teacher, Epictetus, and he taught and he wanted his students to learn. He wanted them to use the philosophy that he was teaching them. He didn't want them just to talk about it or to hear it and demonstrate to him that they had heard it. He wanted them to use it. And here was his illustration. He said, in a rather crude metaphor, that the shepherd does not want the sheep to regurgitate the grass in order to show the shepherd how much they had eaten. Rather, he wanted them to digest it and use it to produce wool. And that's what the Lord wants us to do. He wants us to hear the word and produce fruit. And the awesome truth is, if we don't use it, we just might lose it. Let's pray. Father, we are blessed indeed that you've given us your word, and we want to be careful how we hear it. So may the Spirit of God teach us to use what we've heard, not ignore it, not set it on the shelf, not to forget it, but Lord, to use it. Help us to apply and use what you've taught us, that we might grow in grace and in knowledge of your Son, in whose name we pray. Amen.